The scripture reading is Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. In Romans 9, Paul declared the truth of predestination. He declared the truth that God chose some men before the foundation of the world. Now in chapter 10, Paul looks at Israel's failure to believe in Christ alone. And he says, some in Israel then clearly were not chosen by God from before the foundation of the world. They don't believe. Now we're going to see that in the sermon today, that some do not believe, but the main focus will be on verses 13 through 15. And those verses speak of the truth that the gospel must still be proclaimed abroad, for it's the preaching, by means of the preaching, God brings men to conscious faith. We're going to look at that in connection with Lord's Day 25. So let's read Romans 10. And we will read the whole chapter. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Thus far we read the word of God. This morning, on the basis of this passage and many others, we have the truth contained in Lord's Day 25. Lord's Day 25, since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? From the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed, for the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Two, namely holy baptism and the Holy Supper. Faith is so important. Lord's Days 23 and 24 made that very plain. Faith is so important. Faith is the bond by which we are united to Jesus Christ and believe in Jesus Christ. We remember faith is first of all that bond by which we are connected to Christ. And being united to Christ, we then exercise the activity of faith. We believe in faith, where we believe in Christ. Lord's Day 23 and 24, they both showed that faith is all important, indeed necessary for salvation. By faith alone, we are righteous before God. Remember, faith's the bond, united to Christ. We believe. And when we believe, God declares to our conscience, righteous, righteous in my sight in Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. He makes us to know it right in our conscience. Righteous before me in the Savior. Now notice, again, as Lord's Day 24 teaches, we are not righteous before God by any other means. God does not declare to us that we are righteous by our works. Doesn't say that. We saw that last week at length. No, when we believe, resting entirely upon Jesus Christ, he declares to us, righteous before me. It's by faith alone that we receive the righteousness of Christ as our own. Faith is important. Now, Lord's Day 25 really answers two questions that are related about faith. First, this. Lord's Day 25, in essence, asks, where does this faith come from? Where does it come from? Question 65. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence does this faith proceed? And the answer, very simple answer of answer 65, is from the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost who makes that bond of faith between us and Christ, uniting us to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who works in us actually to believe and trust in Christ for our salvation. It's the work of the Spirit. Praise God this morning that the Spirit works in us to do that. It's a wonderful thing. Faith is all important. But the other question we have to answer is this. How does the Holy Spirit work that faith in us? How does he strengthen us in that faith? Lord's Day 25 answers that question too. It says he uses means, he uses tools to work faith in us and strengthen us in that faith. And the means that he uses are the preaching, what's happening right now, the preaching, and the sacraments. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now understand that in Lord's Day 25, when we say that the Holy Spirit uses a means to work faith, we are speaking of how He brings us to conscious faith, how He brings us to exercise faith, believe and know Christ. When we talk about the truth that the Spirit uses means to work faith, we are not speaking of how He creates the bond of faith between us and Christ. He does not use means to create that bond between us and Christ. He does not use the preaching for that. So when we speak of the Spirit using means to work faith in us, we are speaking of coming to conscious faith. How do we come to conscious faith, to know Christ and believe in Him? And the means the Holy Spirit uses are two. Two means, the preaching and the sacraments. We're going to see that today. Let's consider this text under the theme, God's gift of faith. God's gift of faith. How He brings us to believe in Him. First, worked by the preaching. Second, confirmed by the sacraments. And third, our resulting call. So God's gift of faith. Worked by the preaching, confirmed by the sacraments, and then we will see our resulting call from that. First, faith is worked by the preaching. Now, to understand that truth, we first need to know what exactly the preaching is. The preaching is the declaration of the gospel by Christ through the church. The preaching is the declaration of the gospel by Christ through the church. The preaching is the declaration of the gospel. The gospel is the good news of salvation. It is the good news that Christ has died to save His people from their sins. It's the gospel. Question and answer 66 says, the promise of the gospel is this, namely, that He grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Now the gospel, the good news of salvation, is really, it's found on every page of Scripture. The Old Testament is the good news of salvation in Christ. You think right away of a passage like Genesis 3 verse 15, where God said that Christ would come and crush the head of Satan. The whole New Testament is the good news of salvation. Matthew 27 speaks of how He died for our sins. Jesus in John 14 verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. The gospel is really this then. It's the good news that Christ has saved His people from their sins. And that gospel is declared on every page of Scripture in some way, some sense. The gospel, the good news of salvation, the gospel is the content of the preaching. Proof for that is question and answer, or question 67. It says, the Word directs our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation. Paul says that the gospel is the content of the preaching in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23. There he says, we preach Christ crucified. We don't talk about food during the worship service. We don't talk first and foremost even about how to live. First and foremost, we talk about this, Christ crucified. That's what we preach. In Romans 10, verse 15, Paul also makes that clear, that the gospel is the content of the preaching. Romans 10, verse 15, he says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Those glad tidings of good things, that's the news that Jesus Christ has died for the sins of His people. The gospel. So we see very clearly then what the preaching is not. First of all, it's not a speech about sports, cars, or anything like that. It is a message. A message which has the content of this, the gospel. What do we preach? The good news of salvation in Christ. That's what the preaching is a declaration of. The good news of salvation in Christ. Now the preaching, it's the declaration of the gospel by Jesus Christ. Christ is actually the one who preaches every Sunday. Christ. Romans 10 verse 14 teaches us that. In Romans 10 verse 14, there's this important phrase that we are going to look at a couple times this morning. It is this: how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Again, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now, that phrase literally is translated this way. If you look at the original language, it literally says this: how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? There's no of there in the original language. It just says, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And the idea there is that Jesus Christ is actually the one whom we hear in the preaching. That's the teaching of Scripture. Christ preaches to us. We hear him. So the preaching is the declaration of the gospel by Jesus Christ through the church. Through the church. The church has received the calling to preach. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus says to the disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." The disciples received that commission to go teach all nations, to preach to all nations. Now, these disciples received that commission as representatives of the New Testament church. And this is true, that they were representatives of the New Testament church is evident by the fact that they themselves would never be able to fulfill that commission to bring the gospel to every nation. So what the meaning is there is that the church is called to preach the gospel to every nation, tribe, and tongue. The disciples were given that calling as representatives of the church. Now the church carries out this calling to preach through the minister, through the preacher. Romans 10 verse 15 says, "How shall a minister preach except he be sent or called?" The church calls the minister to preach. The preacher of the church, he carries the message of Christ the King then. Carries the message of Christ the King every Sunday for and to the church. In Romans 10, the word preacher means literally herald. To speak as a herald. A herald back in the old days was one who would receive a message from the king. The king would tell him something, and heralds were usually fast runners, and they would go throughout the whole kingdom, and they would bring that message to every man, speaking the message of the king. Well, that's a very fitting word for a preacher. A preacher is one who is a herald, carrying the message of Christ the King, going out and bringing that message to all men. That's what he does. The preacher carries the message of the king by setting forth the texts of the gospel. What really the preaching is saying through different forms and words the message of the gospel over and over again. He brings the message of the gospel with illustration and application. He brings the word. Explains the word. So we see Christ declares the gospel through the church and specifically through the minister of the church. It's definition of the preaching. The preaching is the declaration of the gospel by Christ through the church. That's what preaching is. Now understand that by means of the preaching, or by the tool of preaching, the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts. He works in us to believe through the preaching. The Catechism. Question and answer 65 says, since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? From the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. God uses means. In the Catechism, we read that he works faith in our hearts by the preaching. That word by means by means of. In Romans 10, verse 17, we read, faith cometh by hearing. Faith comes by means of hearing. That's the original words there. He uses means then. God uses means. Now, means are tools or instruments. Sometimes we use a tool. We might use a tool to fix the door handle. Well, God uses tools to do certain things too. He uses tools or a means to work faith in our hearts. And the means that he uses, the tool that he uses to work faith in our hearts, is the preaching. The Spirit uses the preaching as a tool, first of all, to show us our sin. We would never see our sin in our own strength. I wouldn't see it. You would not see it. We wouldn't care about it. But the Holy Spirit pricks our hearts through the preaching. That's Acts 2. The Holy Spirit pricks our hearts through the preaching so that we see those areas in which we fail. We see those sins that especially cleave to us. We see our sins. The Holy Spirit works in us using the tool of the preaching to bring us to see sin. But also, the Spirit uses the preaching as a tool to work in us to believe in Christ for salvation from that sin. Through the preaching, we cry out, I need Christ. We cry out, Lord, forgive my sins. That's through the power of the preaching. We don't do that on our own. It's the Spirit's work. Philippians 1 verse 29 says it's the Spirit that works in us to believe. It says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So it's given you to believe on him. Romans 10, verse 14 shows us that the Spirit uses the means of the preaching to work in us to believe. Romans 10, verse 14, again that same phrase. Listen closely. How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's scripture. Through the preaching, the Spirit moves me to see that I cannot save myself by my works. Through the preaching, the Spirit moves me to see that I need Jesus Christ. Moves me to cry out for him. That's power. That's the power of the preaching. Now the Holy Spirit, he works faith by the preaching only in God's elect. Some hear the preaching and they do not believe. That's made very plain to us in Romans chapter 10. Paul, in verses 13 through 15, he's saying there that many hear the word. But then in verse 16, he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? The Spirit does not work in all men to believe because not all men are his elect. He does not work in those who are the reprobate to believe. The Spirit works in God's elect to believe. None of us deserve that. But God chose us from before the foundation of the world, and now he works in his chosen people to believe in Christ. And when they believe, he declares to their conscience, righteous, righteous in my sight, through Christ's blood. He works in the elect. That's Romans 9. By means of the preaching, the Spirit works faith in us. We've seen that. But also understand that by the tool of the preaching, the Spirit continues to strengthen that faith and build us up in our faith. The Catechism says that the sacraments specifically do that. Answer 65 says the Spirit confirms or strengthens faith by the use of the sacraments. And that's true, the sacraments do strengthen our faith, but don't lose sight of the fact that we are also strengthened in our faith by the tool of the preaching. The Spirit works in me to come to conscious faith through the preaching, but Sunday by Sunday, through the preaching of the Word, He also builds me up. And we know that from our experience. We do. We believe in Christ, and we're built up in that faith through the preaching on Sunday, but then we fall back into sin during the week. Fall into sin many times. Then we hear the Word of God on Sunday, and we see. We're pricked in our hearts again. We see our sins, and we lean even more on Christ because we see we can't save ourselves. We need Christ. We lean even more on Him. And the older saints here especially know that to be true throughout their lives. Through the power of the preaching, they more and more trust in Christ for all their salvation. They know they can't do it. They see their sins so clearly. Through the preaching, we are strengthened in our faith, in our trust of Christ. So that's first. The Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts by the preaching and strengthens that faith by the preaching. Now in the second place, understand that the Holy Spirit confirms our faith by the sacraments. Strengthens our faith by means of the sacraments. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are signs and seals that Christ instituted which direct us to our salvation in Christ. The sacraments are signs and seals instituted by Christ that direct us to our sure salvation in Christ. Christ instituted two sacraments for the church to observe. You know those two sacraments. Question and answer 68 says those two sacraments are holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. He instituted baptism for the church to observe in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. We already read that verse. It's go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And again, He gave that command to the disciples, representatives of the church. So Jesus Christ instituted baptism and commanded the church to administer baptism. Christ also instituted the Lord's Supper. That's Luke chapter 22, verses 19 through 20. Words that we are familiar with from our baptism form. We read, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Again, Christ instituted the supper and the church was to administer it. We even see in 1 Corinthians 11 that the church in Corinth was called to administer the sacrament, the Lord's Supper. So Christ instituted two sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper. Now let's see specifically what the meaning of a sacrament is. The sacrament, according to the definition given a little bit ago, the sacrament is first of all a sign that points us to Christ's work of salvation for us. It's a sign. Answer 66 says the sacraments are holy, visible signs. Signs are something we can all understand. Signs are visible things that picture an invisible reality. Visible things that picture an invisible reality. So an example of a sign would be a billboard for a McDonald's that's 13 miles. It says it's 13 miles down the road. That's a visible thing, that billboard is. It's a visible thing that represents an invisible reality, that there's actually a McDonald's 13 miles down the road. You can't see it, but it's there. That was a sign that pointed to an invisible reality. Now, the sacraments are signs. they are pictures of an invisible reality. The sacraments picture the invisible reality that Christ has died to save us from our sins. Answer 66 says this about the sacraments. They are signs and seals that declare to us the promise of the gospel, namely that he grants us freely the remission of sins and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Question 67 indicates the same thing. It says sacraments are ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation. The washing of water in baptism. We're familiar with that. We've seen baptism happen. Not too long ago, baptism happened here. The washing of water in baptism pictures the invisible reality that Christ's blood washes away our sins. The washing of water is something we do to get the dirt off. Kids, you wash your hands to get dirt off your hands. Well, that's a picture of Christ's blood washing away our sins. As water washes dirt away, Christ's blood washes our sins away. That's the picture in baptism. But also the Lord's Supper has pictures, has these visible things that direct us to an invisible reality. The broken bread and the poured out wine of the Lord's Supper are pictures. Luke 22, 19 and 20 showed us that. The broken bread of the Lord's Supper picture that the truth that Christ's body was broken for us on the cross. The poured out wine of the Lord's Supper pictures the truth that Christ's blood was poured out for us on the cross for our salvation, that we might have eternal life. That's the picture. So the sacraments are signs, pictures that point us to an invisible reality. The sacraments are also seals of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Seals of our salvation in Christ. Romans 4 verse 11 teaches that the sacraments are seals. Romans 4 verse 11 calls circumcision a seal. It says he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had. Now, circumcision, that was an Old Testament sacrament that pointed, or that now has been replaced by baptism. But nonetheless, we see in that verse, and God's teaching us in that verse, that the sacraments are seals. Question and answer 66, based on Romans 4, verse 11, calls the sacraments seals. Now, what is a seal exactly? A seal is a mark of ownership, which really it guarantees that something is genuine and true. A sacrament is a mark of ownership which guarantees that something is genuine or true. Back in the old days, a king would put a seal on the letters that he wrote or the decrees that he made. He would write it out. He would put his name at the bottom. But then he would also seal that letter with a signet ring. And he would do that to show that not just anyone had written that letter, but the king had written it. I really wrote it. Look, my seal is right there. These are my words. This is genuine. This is true. The contents of that letter could then be read and believed with confidence. This really was from the king. Now apply that to sacraments. Sacraments are seals of God the King to the elect, guaranteeing that we are saved in Jesus Christ. Baptism is a seal. In the preaching he says certain words to us. In the preaching he says, righteous in Jesus Christ. Righteous through his work on the cross. Well then, baptism is a seal of that truth. Baptism is a mark, then, which says, not just anyone said that to you. Not just anyone said, righteous in Christ. No, I said it. Baptism is my seal that I say you are righteous in Jesus Christ through His poured out, His shed blood. My seal. And thus, what is spoken to you in the preaching and what you see in the sign of the sacrament, that can be believed with confidence. Just as really as that elect child is sprinkled with water, he is washed in the blood of Christ. It's a seal. And the Lord's Supper is also a seal. Again, in the preaching, God says to us, Christ's body was broken for you on the cross. Christ's blood was poured out for you that you might have eternal life. That's the message of the preaching of the gospel. Then the Lord's Supper is a seal of that truth. The Lord's Supper is the mark of God saying, not just anyone said that, I say it. I, the King who does not lie, I, God, God of truth, say that to you. Just as really as that wine is poured out in front of your eyes, your sins are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ's blood has been poured out for you. That's my word. It doesn't fail. Now, the sacraments are signs and seals only to the elect. Not all men receive the sacraments as seals. They don't. The sacraments serve to the damnation of those who are not true believers. That serves to the damnation of those who are not true believers. And that's why the church forbids unbelievers from receiving the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The sacraments are signs and seals guaranteeing salvation in Christ alone to the elect believer. By means of those sacraments which were just described, or by the tool of those sacraments, the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith. The Catechism, question and answer 66, says, by the use thereof, He may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely that He grants us the remission of sins and life eternal. That's first of all how the sacraments are tools that strengthen our faith. They're tools that strengthen our faith because the sacraments more fully declare the truth of salvation to us, strengthening our faith. Or the Holy Spirit declares that truth more fully to us through the sacraments. Think of it. We hear the truth fully declared to us in the preaching. We do. We hear righteous in Christ alone. And the Spirit uses the preaching to work faith in us, working us to believe. But then question and answer 66 says, by the sacraments, He more fully declares the truth to us. In the sacraments, we see with our eyes the same truth that we just heard with our ears. We see with our eyes a picture of the truth that Christ died for our sins. In the sacraments, He appeals to our sight. He appeals to our taste. He appeals to our touch. And thus, this sight, this touch, this taste, it serves to declare the gospel in an even more plain way to us. The wine is poured out right in front of our eyes, showing us that Christ's blood really was poured out for us. And when we see that, we hear, as it were, even more clearly, even more loudly, Christ did the work. He did the work of salvation. Now understand that the preaching and the sacraments always go together. First, you hear with your ears, and then you see the picture of what Christ has done with your eyes. You touch, taste, see. The gospel always comes first. The preaching always comes first. We first hear it, and then we see it. See the picture. And to understand how these things always go together, think of it like this. Someone might tell you about a trip that they go on. And when they tell you about that trip, they might first tell you all about it, and then later show you the pictures. And when you see those pictures, you more fully understand what the trip was like. You first had to hear about it, otherwise the pictures wouldn't make a lot of sense. You first had to hear about it, and then the whole thing was more fully declared to you when they showed you the pictures. God, he brings us the word of the gospel. And then he more fully declares the gospel to us through the sacraments, those pictures. The gospel is more fully declared to us when we see the pictures. So that, you see, that hearing and seeing together, that certainly helps strengthen our faith. That's very clear. Remember, by the tool of the sacraments, the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith. Well, hearing and seeing together certainly serves to the upbuilding of our trust in Christ. By means of the hearing of the Word, the Spirit works in us to grow in our faith. But then through those pictures, we increase even more in our trust that Christ has done the work for us. The Holy Spirit then uses the sacraments in that way to strengthen our faith, more fully declares to us the truth of salvation through those signs. But also this, that it's very clear that the sacraments serve to the strengthening of our faith because they're called seals. We saw that. They're God's marks, guaranteeing that our sins are washed in Christ's blood. Just as really as that water is poured out on that child, that elect child, his sins are washed in the blood of Jesus. They're seals. And thus we understand that they are certainly a means by which the Spirit builds us up in our faith. When we see that happen, we grow in our trust. We lean entirely upon the Savior. So obvious to us then, by the work of the Spirit, that we cannot save ourselves. We need Christ. Spirit works faith in us by the preaching, confirms that faith in us by the sacraments. Now, what's our resulting call to all of this? What is our resulting calling? Well, there are two calls. First this. Respond to what you hear this morning by coming here. Be regular in coming here to hear the preaching, to partake of the sacraments, the means of faith, the means by which God works in us to believe in Jesus Christ. So come here. Make use of the means. Scripture does not speak of nature as a means of faith. The golf course does not have the means of faith. The lake, the mall, don't have the means of faith. Scripture speaks of the preaching and the sacraments as the means by which the Holy Spirit works faith. So come here. Attend church so you might hear the word preached. God works that all-important gift of faith through the preaching. So come here. And some of us do have times where we cannot be here. We have works of mercy. But people of God, do whatever you can. If you are involved in that kind of work, still do whatever you can to be here as much as you can. This is the means by which the Holy Spirit works faith. Be here. And also make use of the sacraments. Baptize your children. That serves to the strengthening of the faith of that elect child, but it also serves to the strengthening of the faith of those who see it. Those who see, yes, indeed, I am washed in the blood. And also, partake of the Lord's Supper. And young people, that's a word especially for you. The importance of seeing why we must make confession of faith. And so that we might partake of this important sacrament. Through the partaking of the Lord's Supper, you see even more clearly. You are guaranteed right before your eyes that salvation in Christ and built up in your faith. And that's what we need. That's what we need, especially during this time in your life when you live in the midst of such a wicked world, you need to be strengthened in your faith. So think of making confession of faith so that you might partake. That's the first call then. Come here. Very simply, come here. But also there's this. We need to preach the gospel. And we must invite others to come here to hear that preaching. The means by which the Holy Spirit works faith. Invite others to come here. Paul, he saw the importance of preaching the gospel. He saw the importance of calling others to come and hear the word. He understood that very clearly. As one who himself had faith and knew his salvation, he desired that others would have it. That's what he wanted. Romans 10 verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He knew the truth in his heart of what he said in verse 14. "How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" He knew that. He believed it. So he went out and did whatever he could to spread the gospel. He went to places that many of us, including myself, would never dream of going so that he might spread the gospel. That shows us our calling. We too must preach the gospel. Now, we are not all preachers, but that calling to preach the gospel means we must support the preaching. Support it. And support the missions. Support them financially, but support them too with prayers. And this: invite other people here. Witness to them, and then invite them here. Do you do that? If you don't, then start. Start now, knowing how important the preaching is. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? By means of the preaching and the sacraments, the church is gathered. The church grows in faith. The church is strengthened in faith all the way to glory. So come here and invite others also. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, O Lord, we come to thee and we stand in awe of how thou dost work faith in us through the preaching and confirm it by the use of the sacraments. That's a wonder, and it's all thy work. We pray that thou wilt, O God, even use the word this morning to build us up in our faith, to trust in thee. And may we, O God, seeing the importance of the preaching and the sacraments, seek to be here and call others to come also. Give us boldness to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.